Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, October 8th.
Good morning.
Hi.
How are you doing?
We're doing well. There's another guest who's missing in action.
He's MIA.
Yeah, yesterday we had a flake, and I hope it doesn't happen again today.
Yeah, hopefully you know? He's just late.
Yeah.
Traffic.
Yeah. No, that's a great guest, and hopefully he'll be here soon. So, and if he isn't, he isn't. What can I say?
Yeah.
Well, beautiful weather in LA. I guess we might as well start with the weather. It's starting to get cooler.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still wearing shorts, though, because I can't deal with jeans in the heat. It's too much.
Right.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, it's hot. You it's know? Nice, though. I like it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I like the heat.
You like the heat. Good. But you said that it was pretty hot in Hawaii, right? Was that too hot for you there or what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if there's anything as such as too hot.
Really?
Because I love the heat. But when you can, when you're struggling to walk on the floor because the floor is so hot.
Right.
And I mean, there was one day that I was out by the pool at like 8 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and didn't. I don't think I went in till about 4 or 5 o'clock. And
really?
That was the day I got so tanned that day because I was literally out in the sun the whole time.
Right.
We went paddle boarding and we went down the slides and rafting and all this cool stuff. But being out in the sun for that long, that night, I was just drained.
Yeah.
I was just dying. Every time I just felt a little bit of heat,
right.
I was uncomfortable because I was like, oh my gosh, my skin is like fried.
Yeah, wow.
And I wasn't as burnt as I thought I was. I wasn't really burnt at all.
Right.
I just got a lot of color.
Yeah.
But that was a little bit too hot. The next day I was like, oh, I don't really want to be in that much sun.
I know. I don't know, but I'll tell you, like around 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, I start feeling like a zombie, you know?
Yeah.
It's like I have to lie down or something because the heat is just too much.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I do have an air conditioning at home and stuff, but you know, sometimes you sit outside and you just like get really tired and stuff.
Yeah,
although
definitely.
It's suicide to sit outside in 100 degree weather. I don't.
Yeah, unless you have a fan blowing or a bit of shade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to. Well, I am in the shade. I'm not going to sit in the sun, but it does get warm out there.
Right.
You know. So, yeah, I mean, but yeah, I don't know what kind of winter we're going to have. It's funny because I went to get some clothes and it was hard to find any summer clothes. I wanted some shorts.
I know. Before I went to Hawaii, I think I went to every single female store,
right.
possibly in Los Angeles, to try and get a bikini, and nowhere
really?
Sold one. I was like, what's this all about? It's hot. It's bikini weather all year round in
right.
LA.
That's
and
true.
I can't get a bikini. They were like, yeah, you're a week late.
Wow.
It's like, no.
Yeah. See, that's the thing with fashion. They always have the clothes for the next season.
Right.
You know, so that's how they started. They started early. So, you know, I mean, we have 100 degree weather and we're looking at coats and sweaters.
Right,
and
it's
stuff.
Big sweaters, boots,
right.
and I don't think I've worn my boots since I moved to LA.
Yeah. But I have to admit, it makes me miss winter, you know?
Right.
Like suddenly, you know, give me a sweater and a coat and, and you know, something cozy.
Some seasons.
Yeah. I know. And rain would definitely help, too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Although I spoke to my mom this morning and she said that the water was up her pants because it was raining so bad, up to the middle of her calves.
Are
that
you
her
serious?
Her pants were soaking wet up to the middle of her calves.
Whoa.
So I don't know if I miss the rain that much. She's like, do you remember those days? I was like, yeah.
Well, you come from a place that gets too much rain.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
Definitely.
Know. Haven't discovered paradise here, you know?
I know. Seriously. But I hope it's, like I said, November 19th, I hope it stays warm for for my mom while she's here. So it's not raining and her pants aren't soaking wet up to her calves.
That's a lot of rain. So, well, our guest is here, so we're going to get him to in just a second. I told you he wasn't going to flake. It's just that he takes his time, maybe in the morning or something. We'll get to you in just a second, Adrian. Just give us a moment to finish up here. But, you know, so, yeah, I mean, you know, so you come from rainy weather, you know, so I can understand that. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like the
warmth. Well, yeah, so your mom will have a nice break when she comes here.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Cool. Well, I just wanted to bring up the fact that I guess this is news because the Texas Ebola patient just died.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, that's pretty scary. He wasn't here very long, you know.
I know.
What, like a few days, a week or something after he contracted it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like so scary. So now they're saying that they're like screening passengers that are coming from these countries and
right.
Yeah, like checking their fever and stuff.
Yeah. And I watched on the news last night the questions that they're asking and the precautions, like they're wearing the full body suits, and then they, as soon as the patient gets into the hospital, they're asked where they've traveled from, how long they've, what their symptoms are, how long they've been feeling like this, to know exactly what they might be dealing with.
Right. But imagine how, you know, you're going to have to go through that when you just land, you know?
Yeah.
It's like it's not enough with the immigration and everything.
I know,
right?
I have
to deal with this, too.
I know.
You know? So, but then again, you know, don't travel to these places. I mean, who goes to Liberia for crying out loud, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So
especially
I don't know,
when this is going on.
Yeah, and now they're going to bring it here. And that's scary stuff, man. I mean, if this is that deadly, it's scary stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay, just a couple more things. I don't know if you saw this video on TV, but this family, I guess, got pulled over by cops. And their teenage kid was in the back videotaping this. And apparently what happened is what they're showing, they're not showing the whole story with the video. They're just showing the cops breaking the windows of the car while the people are in the car.
Oh, wow.
You know, and these people are like extremely scared.
Yeah, I bet.
You can see that. You know, they've got kids and it's a couple with their kids. And you know, and they're getting scared because they're saying, you know, we've seen police brutality and stuff. We don't know what they're going to do. But then the police tell a different story. You know, they're saying the people didn't want to get out of the car and after repeatedly asked to do that. So who knows, you know, who knows what's going on there. But the problem is, the main problem is people don't trust cops anymore.
Yeah. But the fact that they have a video of them doing this now, I mean, a lot's going to be said, but they have a video of the police doing this.
Right.
So
they have video of everything. I'm telling you, they have tapes of everything.
Yeah,
yeah. Like this Seventh Heaven actor. Have you heard of him?
No.
Being charged with sexual abuse of having sex with underage girls, and I mean, this is the guy. You know, Stephen Collins. He's pretty famous. He starred in the show for several years, and I guess what happened is there's a tape, an audio tape of him being in therapy with his wife and discussing this with her, disclosing to her that he had sex with underage girls.
Yikes.
Yeah. So now this is coming up, and this is like a big mess.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then somebody thought that, I mean, they heard noises from his house. They thought there was gunshots. They called the police.
Oh, no.
Nothing happened. Somebody tweeted that he's dead.
Oh,
all this stuff. So it was, what a messy day he had.
Yeah. Yesterday. Big conspiracy.
Yeah. But my God, I mean, this is like, you know, this totally can destroy a person, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope it's not true, but who knows. All right, well, let's get to better news. We have an incredible guest here who I've wanted to have on the show for a while, Mr. Adrian Paul. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Good morning.
And Adrian has a show here. In fact, right after this show, he's going to go over to Channel 2, Studio 2, and he's got a show called The Peace Fund Radio. So The Peace Fund, I was reading a little bit on it. I didn't know much about it. I mean, you know, you've been doing the show here and everything. And so you've been doing this for a long time.
17 years.
17 years.
Wow.
1997 is when you started this.
Yeah, when I started, yeah.
Right. Now, so tell us a little bit about what it is. What's the Peace Fund?
Peace stands for Protect, Educate, Aid Children Everywhere. We've associated ourselves. We've done initiatives in Los Angeles, Denver, New York. But then in 2004, when the tsunami happened, we started partnering ourselves with different organizations that ran initiatives on the ground, because we figured, you know, they can do it better. So we did a lot of due diligence on these types of organizations and then partnered with them to either give them logistical support or financial support that we raised money for. We've been in Haiti, we've been in Cambodia, we've been in Thailand, Romania, Hungary, United States. Well, so we've done a lot of different things. Actually, you were talking about Ebola a minute ago.
Yes.
I want to correct you. There have been 4 deaths from Ebola so far.
Really?
And actually, yep.
In the
U.S. The first was a 4-year-old preschooler in New Jersey, went to bed showing no symptoms and just never woke up.
Wow.
And there have been at least 2 dozen children in 7 states, many infants and toddlers, who have developed limb weaknesses and partial paralysis attributed to the enterovirus 68. So there are now confirmed in 43 states and the District of Columbia by the Centers of Disease Control.
Wow.
The main thing you can do is wash your hands.
Yeah.
And that's something I'm going to be mentioning this on my show after this, but we talk about washing your hands. I mean, we talk about people going to the bathroom and you watch them walk out without washing their hands. Well, you grab handles, you grab carts at shopping malls, you do all this. Wash your hands.
Right. And I do that a lot, you know, especially before you eat and stuff, you know. I mean, sometimes just after I shake people's hands, I go and wash my hands.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you don't know, you know. It's nothing personal or anything.
And even hand sanitizer doesn't do
it only takes out a certain amount of job. You know, I remember I went into a car dealership one time, and just as I'm walking up to the dealer, he goes, "Achoo!" into his hands, and then goes, "Hi, how are you?" And he puts his hand. I'm like, dude, are you serious?
Wow.
No.
That's the thing about handshakes. You know, you don't know what that hand has been, you know?
No, you don't.
It's kind of like a funny ritual that we have. In fact, one time, a couple of years ago, I had someone on the phone here, a guest, who claimed that we should stop handshaking completely, you know? That it's a gross thing, and we should find other ways to greet each other and stuff.
Well, you know where handshaking originally came from, right?
No.
Remember the Roman handshake that went up the arm?
Okay.
When they used to hold arms, that's where it originated, because basically they wanted to show that there was no dagger up the sleeve.
Oh, okay.
So that was to show, hi, I'm a friend. This is, there's nothing. And then it became the hand, because I guess that, you know, got out of style.
Without the daggers.
No daggers carrying right now, yeah.
Yeah. So this is cool. Now, so how did the idea come about? I mean, it's not just anyone gets up one morning and says, I want to do a charity.
Well, you know, when I did my series Highlander in the 90s, at the end of it, I mean, I literally had kids mobbing me everywhere I went. I was in the Vatican. Screaming girls. I was inside the Vatican church and screaming. I nearly got kicked out. I'm like, excuse me, I'm not doing anything. I'm standing here. So, but at the time, I thought, you know, if I can have that effect on people, then so can a lot of other celebrities. And I started the Peace Fund because I thought, well, I wanted to bring corporate Americans and celebrities together to actually give kids a inspiration, help, just tell them that somebody else actually cared. So that was the initial idea behind it. And ever since I was a kid, I really thought, you know, I want to do something for kids. I don't know why, but that was my you know, my passion, I guess.
Very cool. So you always wanted to help out and stuff. So this is cool because you found yourself now in a position where you can do something about
it. Yeah, I mean, I mean, a lot of the interesting thing is when I do Peace Fund Radio every week, the thing is that I find we have kids that come on because we have them as Peace Fund Heroes of the Week. These are kids that are 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 and 12, 13 years old that are basically from small towns and say, I want to help. Because all of us as adults go, well, we can't because we don't know. There's only one of us. But one turns into two, turns into four, turns into eight, turns into... And some of these kids that have been out there have actually created movements of a million strong just because they had a passion for an idea that they believed in.
Wow, very cool. Very cool stuff. So this has been going on for that long. Are you like at the head of the organization?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, this year we've really restructured a lot. I've got a lot of different people, you know, coming into the organization because we're growing, and you know, we have 2 big events this year that are actually our very first actual fundraising events per se in Los Angeles. You know, most of the time we had donations or we worked off of auction items, a lot of Highlander items and other celebrity giving us stuff that we could actually auction online. And we made, you know, a considerable amount of money doing that. But now I think, you know, going to the next level, you really have to put people in the right positions and pay them to do it because we have a lot of volunteers. I've got 30, 40 different volunteers in different positions in my organization. But, you know, you need to have somebody there on a daily basis doing things, because otherwise you just don't step up to the next level.
Right. Wow. And you can't expect people to volunteer and stuff on a daily basis.
No, you can't.
And not get paid for it.
No, you can't. Yeah. I mean, they could do a few hours a week. I mean, that's what we had in my last shout out. I said, listen, if you can spare 5 hours a week, you know, an hour a day, or 3 hours, or 10 hours, or whatever it is, we like to talk to you, and we do checks on people and find out what their resumes are and what they do, and then, you know, we put them in certain positions that that they're comfortable with,
right?
You know, whether they are web designers or whether they are project managers or whatever that is, researchers. You know, we have people, so we have a bunch of people that actually help us make this organization run.
Right.
Wow. So obviously, you get people that do call you and want to volunteer.
Yeah, absolutely. There's you know, you're from South Africa?
England. And I read that you're from London. I'm from Sheffield.
Sheffield, hello. Oh, my best mate was from Sheffield. Anyway.
It sounds like a lot of accents, but not South Africans.
Have you been? South African is this, actually, but sometimes you can't actually hear the South African. It's a very hard accent to have.
I love
and especially if you've been in America for a while, I feel like South African could, but no, I'm from England. It's just
I get South African.
My accents got lost in translation somewhere.
So you just got lost. You say lost. You know, lost. That's kind of like lost. That's kind of, it could be Australian. Could, you know, that's what I get. Australian, South African, you know, they get all of that.
I get Boston more than anything.
Do you really?
Really?
Boston?
Wow.
I know, weird.
Just open up that R. Oh, Boston.
It's the R, you know? It's the light R. So you were born in London?
Yeah, I was born in London. I from an Italian mother, English father. That's why I kind of look like this. I'm not blonde like this beautiful young lady.
No, you're not blonde, but you look good enough to be on a TV series and films.
Well, the funny thing is that my very first thing I ever did in the United States, I was an Englishman, English-Italian, playing a Russian on an American TV show. So I was really screwed up.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it shows your versatility, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So you were born in London. What was your childhood like?
I played a lot of football from the English side, soccer from the American side. I played a lot. Yeah, I played semi-pro. I loved playing football. And then it just became, I need to be stood up and be heard.
Right.
You know, I was always like, all right, if the manager doesn't think I should be on, then I'd go on 1 week and I'd score 2 goals and be benched for 3 weeks. And I'm like, why am I being benched? My father says, say something. And I'd be like, you know what? They probably know best. They've got other people. And I wouldn't say anything. I should have said, oi, excuse me, I'm leaving. You know, it's as simple as that. Because those are the people that actually stand up. When they stand up and say something, those are the people get heard. So you've got to say something. Otherwise,
yeah, you got to take a chance.
Exactly. You got to take a chance. So, you know, I started doing that in school. I worked in a bank when I first left school. God forbid. I mean, you know, people trusted me with money. I can't believe it. Then I actually, my girlfriend at the time entered me into a male model competition, which I've never won anything in my life, you know. And she said, and it was Company Magazine. Do you know Company Magazine from England? Yeah. So I won.
How old were you at the time?
19.
So that's 20 out of high school. I mean, we're not even talking about
Yeah, I was 20 years old at the time when I won that. It's 19, 20 years old. And then, you know, I won it with a, you know, an introduction to one of the agencies. And I started working. And then I started dancing and doing choreographed shows, and then I started choreographing.
How did you get into dancing? I mean, is this
everything? Let me just put it like this:
you don't look like a dancer to me.
Everything I did. Well, actually, I studied jazz ballet.
Really?
I started.
You played a role like that.
That's
right.
That was my first role. Was a ballet dancer. But that was one. I was an English, Italian, Russian, German, whatever. but you know, I actually started. I had a fashion. I had a fashion show I did. See, this has happened all through my career. I did a fashion show. It was the first fashion show I ever did, and it was in front of Queen Margaret. Princess Margaret, sorry.
Oh,
Queen Margaret. Princess Margaret, right? It was one of these she things, and I was brought in at the very last minute. They said, well, you like to do musical and stuff, don't you? And I said, yeah, I love dancing in clubs, and I do this. And I'm like, well, you got this. You're going to be do you want to do runway? I said, sure. So I get on there, and now I'm petrified. I'm absolutely scared blind, for another word. And so they give me this outfit, which has a shirt which is kind of sheer and a jacket that has satin on the inside, and I'm supposed to walk down the end of the runway, turn around and come back again. Well, as I get on, this thing is falling off my shoulders, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm too scared to actually just adjust it, because I'm thinking I should be walking like this and walking like and as I walk, it's gotten halfway down my shoulder. So as I get to the end of the runway, I turn around and I shake my ass in Queen and at my face, apparently.
And I walked back from that after that time. I was called the bum. Really? That was what my nickname was. And then from that point, I went to Paris. And in Paris, a friend of mine said, why don't you come to this dance audition? Because these guys do great tours across all across Europe. They do these dance tours in Cologne and Germany and Munich, Milan, all these different places, Paris. Why don't you come and see if you can? So I walked in, and as it so happened, as I walked into the dance rehearsals, my friend wasn't there. And they said, oh, are you here for the audition? I went, no. I don't think so. No. No, I'll just sit here for a minute. I'll just, you know, again, me not saying anything here. I'll just sit here a minute. And it so happened, two of the guys there, it was all English people. I was in Paris, but it was all English people mainly. Two black guys from London who I saw in a group called Torso. They were amazing. I remember seeing them in London. I'm like, oh my God, it's two of those guys. Oh, they were such great dancers who became good friends of mine afterwards. And then some English girls who worked, danced at the Lido in Paris. And anyway, I'm sitting there for about an hour and a half. And my friend eventually comes in. And I'm sitting there, I'm talking to everybody. And then the dancer comes in that does the audition. And they turn around to me again. I said, why don't you audition, man? I'm like, all right, fine, I'll audition. You know what I mean? Because I've been watching all the moves that they were doing. So I went in and I did it. And I kind of did all right, I suppose. And then after that, they started booking me for fashion shows. And then I started training more. And I started dancing and I started doing that. And that's how I got into that whole circuit doing all these tours. And from that point, I started choreographing.
Right.
And that's when I came to the United States as an actor, model, dancer, whatever you want to call me.
Cool. So you realized you're a performer, you're a creative, and that's what you want
to do. And people always said to me when I was on stage, you should act.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And so I started acting. You know, I took acting lessons in London. I didn't go to RADA or anything, but I did everything separately. I did voice, I did movement, I did, got to the States and I started doing script analysis and character analysis and all that. So I had all the pieces that RADA would teach you over a 5-year period in separate classes as I came through. But once I came, again, everything I believe, what you want in life, you really put out there. What you believe you're going to get, your dreams won't ever come true, but they will come true based on the opportunities that come to you.
Right.
So when I was out there, I wanted to be a dancer. I wanted to be an actor. There was that inside me that wanted that, so I was always thinking about it. So opportunities came that I then decided to either take or not.
Yeah. There you go. And that's the thing. I mean, it seems like you had some opportunities where people guided you or gave you advice and things like that, you know. So it's, you know, it's obviously something that you had the fortune of having good people around you to give you direction or at least ideas of what to do. But what you're saying is you were there and you were prepared for the opportunity.
Yeah, you have to be. I think that's really important. I mean, the way I got my first agent was I came. I was in the States and I was studying at the time, and I was into this publishing house, this Printers, and I put my picture in and I'd written my information on the sheet, etc. And this girl says to me, she says, oh, you're English. And I said, yeah, I'm English. I had a much stronger English accent at the time. And I said, are you English? She says, yeah, I'm English. And she said, well, have you ever got up for James Bond? I went, no, not really. She says, well, I've got an agent that, you know, would be really interested in you. And blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yeah, all right, okay, got it. You're trying to pick me up, whatever, or something, or whatever. So I go, okay, well, that's great. Well, maybe I'll call them afterwards. Well, and I go away, and I don't think about it. And I get home, and on my answering machine, this girl's called me. She says, well, I've talked to the agent, and she's really interested in seeing you, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I call her back. I'm like, excuse me, but how did you get my number? Because I didn't give it to you. She said, oh, well, you know, I took it off the form, your form that you signed. And I'm like, really? And she said, yeah. I said, why are you doing this? And I'm thinking you're trying to pick me up. And she's like, look, I've had a lot of people help me along the way. And so I wanted to, give that back to somebody. And she said, this agent really. So eventually I went and saw this agent. I saw a couple more. But I actually eventually went with this agent. And this agent actually was the one that got me my very first gig in Los Angeles, which was the Colbys, way, 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 way back.
You were the Colbys?
Yeah, I was the Russian ballet dancer from Italy. Playing in America. That was me.
Yeah,
I was in the Colbys.
You see, I don't remember that character, but I do remember the Colbys. You know,
I played Nikolai Rostov, a Russian ballet dancer in love with Boris.
I'm going to have to go back and watch that.
And I know one word in Russian. Yavas lublu. That means I love you.
Which accent do you prefer? Because I guess you've done English, American. I guess you've done all of them. Which is your favorite?
I've done a Scot for a long time, you know.
I did. I played Highlander. So at that time, that was a one I really liked. It was fun to play. You know, but I played.
With impressions. Pretty good.
Impressions. Yeah. I'm an impressionist all my life. What are you talking about? That's what I do for a business. Did you know that?
That's true. So the Cobbies was an offshoot from Dynasty. I don't know if you've heard of Dynasty before, but
Cobbies was probably before your time.
Yeah, well, it was, but it was
80s, like late 80s, mid 80s. Yeah, mid 80s.
It was early 80s, actually. No,
no, mid 80s. Because I didn't get to the States in 84. I didn't get to the States in 84. I got the Cobbies in 85.
Right. 86. So Dynasty was earlier.
Yeah. It was earlier
Okay. Because that's what I remember. But the Cobbies didn't last very long. But I watched it. I mean, many people that like Dynasty liked watching.
Yeah,
that
it was a year.
Well,
yeah. I mean, I remember that. That was a funny. There was Charlton Heston was on there. You know, Moses. And you know, he comes on the
Ricardo Montalban was on.
Yeah, Ricardo Montalban, Stephanie Beecham, John James. Oh God, there were so many names at the time. And I walked into set. Obviously, I'm like, I got this gig. What am I doing here? You know, I'm like on the lot. I'm standing. I'm walking in, and Charlton Heston comes up and he goes, "Hello, I've been so waiting to meet you. Hello," and I'm like, "You're waiting to meet me? You're Moses, for God's sake!" You know, like, are you kidding me? Like, you know, it was, at the time, you know.
How long had you been in LA or America before you got the first
a year? Yeah, I was here doing. And everybody said you got to change your accent. So I started talking like this, you know. And everybody thought I was from New York. You know, a couple of things I did here and there. So I was trying that accent because that was the easiest one to cover,
right?
Kind of, you know. You know, that's kind of what, because looking, if I spoke like this, I don't look like a perfect Englishman, and I'm too dark, you know. So to actually do those types of things, it just didn't work for me. I, you know, doing more of the New York type of thing was kind of what I looked like, because I'd walk in the door and I'd go, "Hello, my name's Adrian Paul," and they go, "Sorry, what?" It just didn't work, you know. So.
Oh, wow. So you obviously got a good agent here too, right? I mean, that got you that gig, because that's a pretty good gig.
Yeah, that was at the time. She was a fantastic agent. She actually became her and Viggo Mortensen. She repped Viggo Mortensen, and me and her. She actually moved on to. She then became his manager. I left her and went to another agent, who then got me Highlander. Mm-hmm. You know, it was interesting. I'm still good friends with both of them. I mean, obviously, my agent now, actually, he got me Highlander. He's now my manager after I left him and went back again, because now, life is different now.
Yeah, you're a different person now.
Yeah.
So now tell us a little bit about Highlander and stuff. When did that start? Did that start as a TV series or as a film?
No, as a film. I had two films before. It was in the 80s was the first film. It was with Sean Connery.
Yeah, okay. Sean. So that's why I was wondering if that's the same thing, because I remember Sean Connery in that movie.
Yeah, Sean played a Spaniard with a Scottish accent. it was really like, really, and you got like a Highlander with a French accent. That was, but you know, I was like, because Christophe Lambert is, you know. But anyway, I watched the first two movies, and those two came first, and then the third one came out, or was coming out, just as the series started, which had Mario Van Peebles in it.
Now, so that other movie was with Christopher Lambert. Is that who you mentioned?
Yeah, Christopher Lambert was the first Highlander.
He was the first one.
Yeah, he was the first one.
Okay.
Then I did the TV series. Then I did two movies. I cut his head off in the first one, and then I became the Highlander. Although some people are like, "Oh, I don't know."
So you get like the main role.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool. You see, it shows you how much TV and movies I watch. But obviously, you've become pretty big from it and stuff. How many years did that go on?
It went on for six seasons, 119 episodes, and 5 years, basically, 5.5 years.
Wow, that's a long time. So that's enough for people to get to know you, get attached to the character, and all that stuff.
Well, that's kind of the issue, because everybody's like, "Oh, you're the Highlander. Oh, okay, we know who you are." But I'm an actor, basically. I didn't do it to be... I happened to do martial arts. I then got into martial arts. I've now done martial arts for 27, 28 years. Mm. But everybody sees me as... the kicking, the sword fighting, all this stuff, and they don't realize I actually started as an actor, and that's how. And I've done a lot of other roles.
It's just a character,
and it's just a character. But,
yeah, but people don't realize that.
They identify.
That's why
a
lot of the time they'll pigeonhole you into a role and stuff. But have you been able to get other diverse roles ever since then?
Yeah, I've done a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
a lot of stuff, but not as big as that had such exposure, if you like. I mean, I did another series in 2001 called Tracker.
I've worked on various movies. Just did one right now, which had a fun cast with it. It had I'm blanking on the cast, right? Lance Henriksen, Armand Asante, oh gosh, what's his name? Anyway, there's a whole great cast of people, and it was a small movie, but it was fun to work with those types of movies, and that was a totally different character. And then I'm going off next week to actually shoot, do you know Strike Back? I don't know if you know Strike Back. Strike Back's a TNT a series. Okay. I'm doing a role on that for a week or so. So not long. One
very
episode.
Cool.
Oh, great.
So I mean, early on you realized, hey, I can do what I like to do and get paid for it and everything. And then you had the acting, you had the dancing, you had the modeling. You've done all this. So you're obviously comfortable in front of the camera. You know what you're doing, and you're comfortable in your own skin.
I might be semi comfortable, I think. Know what I'm doing?
Yeah,
not always.
You've done a lot of facets in the entertainment.
Yeah,
industry.
I've done a lot of facets. I have done a lot of facets, you know. And you know, I say my daughter right now is actually doing commercials. She started. She's four.
Oh wow!
She just did.
Your daughter's four.
So she's
four
young.
And a half. Yeah, wow. I mean, we said okay. She likes doing it. Well, she loves doing it. She's already done a Samsung commercial. She's already done a Bank of Montreal commercial. I'm like, oh my god. So I'm like, great, but you know, as long as it keeps her grounded, it'll be a great way to pay for a college education. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. Now, I mean, you're a pretty new father then, right? Did you have kids before?
No.
So this is the first time?
Yeah, I got a 4.5-year-old and a 2-year-old.
You waited till you were, according to my calculations, 51 years old, right?
I was what?
It's okay.
What?
I mean, it's rare for me to find people about my same age, you know, so it's nice to relate.
Also, it's 35. God, I must have lost a couple of years.
Oh, hey, I'm just reading what
Wikipedia
says.
That happens, you know. You get dementia, I think. That's what it is.
But no, so I always wondered, you know, because I think the reason people have kids when they're young is because you have more energy, you have more patience and stuff. How do you find being a father is for you at this age?
It's much better for me, personally.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, I was traveling the world. I was married at one point for, you know, 6-7 years together for like 11 years. But, you know, so for me that was okay. But I was traveling a lot. I'm working a lot. My mind was on my career. And you get to a point when, you know, you kind of go, well, maybe that's not what I should be doing. And I think my patience level now is much better.
Oh, really?
Thank God it is, because I still can throw my kid off the balcony. My son's like, oh, my mother goes, oh, I'm getting flashbacks. Because he's exactly what I was like. Boom! He actually picks up sticks to use them as swords. I'm like, I didn't do that, did I? But he does, you know, so he's like that. But my patience with him is a lot more now. I can actually have that patience.
So you do have a son. I thought you just...
I have a son and a daughter. So
oh,
I have a two-year-old and a 4.5-year-old. She's
oh,
nearly
I see.
Five,
okay,
actually.
Wow.
She's nearly five.
So even a younger one, huh?
Yeah.
2.5-year-old, wow.
Is he kind of... Well, you said he was throwing sticks and banging them together. So he's kind of got that energy.
Yeah.
And
yeah. It's like totally different than my daughter. My daughter's like, she draws and she does stuff. She does goes nuts sometimes, but she draws. And you can put her down to do stuff. But him is like, okay, where am I going now? It's like Woody Woodpecker or like Roadrunner on it. You know? And so, seriously, I mean, this was about 3 months ago. I was doing the radio show next door on Peace on Radio. Uh-huh. And across the street, I decided to go and have lunch with my wife and the two kids. And as I walk into the we sat down, he's already like picking up the sugar and throwing it across the room and emptying the salt on the table. And she's like, can you just take him for a walk? Just get him some energy out. Take him down I'll order. And you go, so I go down. They go running down the mall. And at the end of the hallway there is Disney Store. And they go running into the Disney Store. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I can kind of handle them. They're in one area. This is okay, good. So my daughter sits down and on comes Frozen. I'm like, okay, well, she's set for about a while.
Yeah, there you go.
That's good.
They and all of a sudden, it a million times.
And at that point, I went, okay, where's Roy? And I turn around, and as I see him, he's now hearing out the door and grabs two T-shirts off the rack,
oh
goes straight,
God.
And suddenly you go,
I'm like, oh no. So he continues going through, drops one of them, takes the other one, throws it into the fountain. Oh, and I'm God. Like, oh no. And so I fish out this soaking wet t-shirt, grab him up, and now by this point, the security's standing by the door with I'm like, I'm really sorry. And I said to the girl, look, here's the other one. She said, look, don't worry about it, no problem. So I give them back those things. I look at him, like, hey, you little rat, get back to mama. Go, get going, get going. So off they go. They run back down the hallway, right towards the restaurant. Yeah. And I'm behind them, and as I'm getting there, and all of a sudden, he takes a right turn. Right, like, literally, it was like, it wasn't a veer. It was literally, and he takes this right into a beauty supply store. And he runs straight down the aisle, and I get to the door. I'm like, hey, Royce, come on, let's go, come on. And he looks at the shelf in front of him that has all these little bottles of shampoo, and he goes, takes his arm, and he just wipes the entire shelf off. This is in 2 minutes. So when I said...
I don't know how you do the same thing. That would be good.
Wow. Yeah. So I bet you're glad with the patience.
That's what I said. That's why I have to... If it was 20 years ago, I probably would have like just gone...
Yeah.
You know, screamed at him or something, which would not have been good.
Yeah, wow. That's true. Wow. But you do have to have patience for this kind of behavior.
Yeah, you do.
Wow.
You got your hands full.
Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing is there are periods.
Energy, yeah.
Well, it's periods in kids' lives. You know, they don't always stay like that. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the girls get worse as in the teenage years. There's that thing. And the boys get better in a sense. So, but there's always a... so I've been told. That's what I've been told.
It's what you've got to look forward to.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is that they do... You've got to have patience for a certain amount of months or a year or two to get them to understand that certain behavior is not acceptable. Right. And you have to spend the time to do that with kids. Yeah. They can't, a lot of time their energy is so effervescent that you can't control it. And if you let it go, it can turn into so many different things that are harmful for them and for the other kids around them.
That's true. So you got to be accommodating and understanding of what they're doing. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes, because I mean, if you saw somebody else's kid doing this, you'd go, I want to smack this kid, you know, but it's not they're not doing it maliciously. He's a kid.
Yeah,
he doesn't know.
He doesn't know what he's doing now. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, when my daughter was there, we'd walk her down the road. You know, and you're walking down the road, there's cars coming, and we used to have it's a harness that you hold the so she doesn't suddenly do what Royce did, which would veer off into the street and get knocked off. So my wife is walking her with it one day, and this woman went past me. It's like walking a dog, and I'm like, obviously you don't have children, do you? Because you don't realize that if you want to walk them to get the energy out, you have to control them. Otherwise, you're literally going to be on their backs just in case they run off in a direction they're not supposed
to. That's absolutely true. I think these things are great. You know, I mean, because you can't control the child, you know. They're like,
no, give them some freedom.
It's a split second and bam.
Yeah, and they're gone because they don't know the parameters when they're that young.
Yeah. So back to the Peace Fund. Now, I see you have the Peace Fund games coming up. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, it's Peace Fund Poker. That's this weekend, actually, October 11th.
Oh, it's poker. Okay.
This weekend. I'll get to the games in a second.
Okay.
we got Peace Fund.
Oh, so we get the poker first.
Yeah, poker is we've got at least 22 celebrities attached to the poker. It's actually going to be done at the Microsoft facility down in Playa del Rey. It's open to the general public, so anybody can register. It's to in association with Wellspring Hope, who are actually working in Niger, West Africa, to build wells for the people there. Because what I found when we were doing Peace Farm Radio was that water is one of the things in our world that we take for granted,
right.
But so many children are affected by it. One child every 4 seconds dies from a disease associated with unsafe water.
Wow.
So when you're talking about that, you're like, wow. And so the ability to bring water up is there. They just don't have the manpower. They don't have the infrastructure to do it. So Wellspring Hope go there and sustain through their partner World Vision for 15 years to build the economy up. Now somebody says to me, why would you go to West Africa or somewhere else to actually help? And I'm like, because it's not a question of them and us. It's a question of a world economy right now. Those people can actually find the cure to AIDS or some of the things we have in our lifetimes now if you help them. It also breaks down social and economic barriers.
Right.
So by doing that, you have societies that may be Muslim, that may be another ethnic group, that now understand that other people around the world are the same as them.
Right.
So I think that's why it's important to do that. Now, the tournament's kind of fun because it's also played online. You can actually support the celebrities online and through a donation process. You can either support them through the players or celebrities can be adopted, we're using the term, mm-hmm. to either be done through each position they go through the tournament, each level they go through the tournament, or as a flat donation. And we've just added today a really cool thing, which is basically going to make people play for free. And that is, it's going to be by noon today, we will probably have it up on the site, and it's www.peacefundpoker.org. You can register for the tournament, which is $75, but for another $25, you will get a $100 restaurant voucher that is good for at least 400 restaurants in the Los Angeles area. Wow. So basically, you'll be playing for free for that. So if you register for $100, you will actually be given a $100 voucher, as well as eating for food, meeting the celebrities, and the music that we've got there, and all the other goodies.
That'll be a lot of fun.
It's a day, and we also have people can come and just watch it for $50. Yeah. We're actually saying you can come and watch. You'll get a $50 gift voucher in a restaurant. So you're going to come on a day out for free. You're going to have food. You're going to watch the celebrities. You're going to get a gift voucher. You can come in basically for free. So come and join it, because most
of them are out. I mean,
you're helping a cause, right? Exactly. So that's at Playa del Rey, the Microsoft facility in Playa del Rey. It's on our site. You can see it on www.peacefundpoker.org.
Okay. And when does this take place now?
October 11th, which is in 3 days.
In three days.
So if you're listening to this, you got to go on October 11th and check it out.
Sounds interesting.
It really does, yeah.
Yeah. So Microsoft has an office out in the marina.
Yeah, the marina. Yeah, it's, okay. They've got an office there, and they've been very gracious. They're hosting it for us. They've opened their facility to us. There'll be new Xbox there you can play. You can view all the new Microsoft products. So there's the Surface and all that stuff. You can check all those things out there.
Very cool.
So there's a bunch of things you can do in the day, and as well as you'll see everything that the Peace Fund does, as well as what Worlds Bring Hope, because we'll have informational stuff there, and it'll just be a day out that you can eat and drink and be merry.
Yeah,
and help.
Absolutely.
And help, definitely.
Now, who are some of the celebrities you're going to have on there?
Let me pull that up, because they keep getting changed. So I'm going to go on the site right now and see what we've got. Where are we? Okay. We have Billy Burke. We have Jill Michelle Lean, Don Most, who was known for Happy Days.
Don Most.
And then Tony Dennison, who's on Major Crimes, Crime Story. Uh-huh. We have Billy Burke, who was on Twilight, the new saga. He was also on Revolution. Carl Weathers is going to be there. Maria Ho, she's known for The Amazing Race and for as a poker player. Michael Ian Black, who's a producer known for Run, Fat Boy, Run, This Is 40, Wet Hoss American Summer. We've got loads and loads of people.
Cool.
Shana Burgess, Adrian Janik. There's loads of people. We've got a great cast. We've got people from the Shards of Sunset. We've got people from we've got poker pros. We've got a variety of people coming in.
Right. Yeah. So now you're saying people can come there and play. So how many games are going to be there? I mean, is everybody going to get to play that wants to?
Yeah, absolutely. If you register, but you've got to register online. Because walking up, if you're registering as a player, it's going to be harder to do to walk up, because we're going to have a limited amount of seats available.
Right.
Because we have to bring the tables in and the dealers.
Right.
So we'll have a couple of extra tables in case there are a couple. But to be honest, you really need to register online to guarantee a position.
Right.
A spot. So.
Sounds good. But to get in and watch, you can do that.
You can come in and watch it too. You can watch it. Obviously, that again, you register online for that.
So you register online.
You can register online. Okay. But you can also, if you just want to watch, you can turn up just to watch as well without registering online. You will obviously register when you get there, pay your fee when you get to to the place itself. We'll have a red carpet, we'll have all those lovely goodies that we can do.
So sounds exciting.
There's a lot of stuff online. It's a great site and it's a great cause.
And what time is it at?
It's registration opens at 11. The game starts at 1 p.m. on Saturday.
1 p.m. This Saturday.
This coming Saturday, yep.
Yeah.
Great. And it's peacefundpoker.org.
So now let's cover the Peace Fund Games. That's coming up. Tell me what that's about.
That's bigger.
Yeah. I mean,
that's bigger than this.
Cool.
This Peace Fund Games is going to be the first interactive celebrity paintball competition at Camp Pendleton in Oceanside on December 6th and 7th.
Wow.
It's we're redoing the site now because we just moved locations. Once the poker tournament is up, we're really going full force on this. It will be a 2-day event. whereby you'll be able to do either scenario game, which is basically two massive teams coming together to fight for the ultimate prize, as well as celebrities going through each of the different challenges that they can win money for their own cause.
Right.
So they can actually win money for the charity. Top three teams in that, they can win money on that day for the challenges. The first day, there'll be two different events happening. One is all the separate challenges we'll have, like a sniper run, like a two-man run, a bow and arrow paintball thing we might have involved in it. And people can go and play on those for the main prize. But the main thing on the main day will be collegiate teams with two celebrities up per team, 12 collegiate teams, five man, three collegiate players, two celebrities that basically will, again, play in a knockout competition eventually for top three prizes to win money for the cause that they choose to them, if right. you like. So it's a 2-day event. We're calling it the factory, which is the marketplace where we've got all different vendors, etc. We'll have food vendors there. We've got a kids area where you can play kids paintball, which is very low, so you can play laser tag. You've got bouncies. You've got all this stuff. So it's for men, women. It's for absolutely everybody. If you just want to go and have a great day out and see all the different stuff and eat some food and do that, you can do that too. You can actually go there. To get there is for free. Some of the actual items that we will be offering on the first day will be possibly a $5 donation to actually play in one of those things, but the main event will probably be $45.
Yeah.
So it's a really...
And that's the cool thing about all these events and stuff. I mean, you got to have fun and you're helping out at the same
right.
time.
You exactly. know? You're helping a good cause and you're really combining fun things for people that... people want to do and they can help out.
Well, the thing, nobody really has done this paintball thing. Paintball is actually a very big growing sport in this country.
Yeah.
And but nobody's done a celebrity, nobody's raised money as a charity at this level in this way before, as well as what we're trying to do, and we believe we're going to be able to be successful, because what we're doing on Peace Fun Poker right now is setting up the framework as what we're going to be doing in Peace Fun Games, is that as an audience member, if you can't make the games, you can actually online affect the games. In other words, you can, for a donation, buy a grenade for somebody or a landmine or an aerial attack to save them as they go through the tour. You say, okay, hold on, there's a 5-minute break. We need the donations in now. Who are you going to give your donations to? And you can buy it for like $20, $30, $50, whatever the donation level will be when we set it. So you can actually affect the game and help the players or take away from the players, which we might take away grenades from the opposite team.
Yeah.
So there might be some fun stuff we can... So we're going to be creating that with this structure we've created for Peace Fun Poker.
Great.
Wow.
And so anybody that comes and donates and stuff can play.
Yeah. I mean, if you there'll be a fee to play, of course. We're setting that right now. But we're thinking it'll be a one-day fee for the main game, which is on the Sunday, which is $45 for the entire day. And you can come the day before as well if you want to for free. But if we go through the tournament, each of the different tournament things that you go through, there'll probably be $5 a tournament that you can go through. So you, right. you know.
Yeah, I mean, you'd pay more than that if you just went for paintballing without the charity.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much we're going to be bringing to this. Yeah. And it's very exciting because we've got a lot of great companies, coming to us wanting to be on board. You can actually sponsor us if you're interested in doing that. You can go on to the Peace Fund website and get to our sponsor link, and we'll send you a sponsor pack as to the levels that there are there. We'll soon have our vendor packs as well, which are for the vendors who want to come in and show. And that'll be from paintball to absolutely anything. We've got water companies, we've got soft drink companies, all those types of things, and we're talking to some of the major manufacturers right now regarding coming into that competition.
What's the website for the Peace Fund?
Peacefungames.org.
Got it.
Right.
It's like peacefunpoker.org. Peace Fund Game makes it simple.
Yeah.
And the main site is thepeacefund.org if you guys want to check it out. Fundraising, donations, things like that. Everything's there. Adrian, Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And really, if you guys like what you hear, turn on to Channel 2 in about 10 minutes. You can hear Adrian for another whole hour.
Yeah, gosh.
There you go.
I don't know if I can do it for another hour now. Well, thank you for having me this morning.
Of course.
Nice to meet you.
So much. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow.
The best in morning radio. Tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.